1 Kings chapter 21, verses 20 to 24. Ahab has confronted Elijah. "So you have found me, my enemy." And in this discourse, we have the record of Elijah's reply. At least we have a summary of it. Now let me say at once, this is not going to be the most popular discourse. This won't come high on the preacher's list. I make a challenge. These deeds evangelists, relationship evangelists, seeker-friendly people, seeker-friendly churches and such like, will they preach in this style? Will they preach such sermons as we have here, Elijah to Ahab? One-to-one, I tell you, one-to-one. Will they preach along these lines? They will not. Now, I acknowledge that this is extraordinary. This is a prophet confronting an evil king and his wife in Israel, in Samaria. I acknowledge that. But the truth is, the principles here apply to preaching. The prophets were like it. Christ was like it. John the Baptist was like it. Paul was like it. There are many sides to the gospel, many sides to the word of God. God has many attributes, but this here in this passage is an integral part of the gospel, and it shows us what God is like. Well, listen to what Elijah says. Now, it's a combination, it seems to be Elijah speaking, but it's really God speaking through him, and he moves between the two. "I have found you," he answered, "because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. I have come looking for you. God has sent me to you. God has come for you. God has found you because you have sinned, because you've sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord." What a note to open on. It's not an accident that I'm here. Oh, I haven't just stumbled across you. It's not just a coincidence. God has a purpose in this discourse. God has a purpose in this meeting. And it's for you, from God, that I'm speaking. "I am going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin." And Jezebel's not getting off the hook either. And also concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, "Dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country." Lack of a decent burial is a tremendous condemnation in Israel at this time. So here is Elijah's preaching. You'll notice he's not justifying himself. He's not sidetracked into personal vengeance. He's not going to grapple with Ahab over himself and what Ahab thinks of him. He's come in the name of the Lord, and it's the Lord's word he is going to deliver. It's not self. It's God speaking. "I'm not coming here to have an assembly with you, Ahab, have a discussion, and to come to some kind of arrangement. This is no anniversary sermon. This is no conference address. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and you have fallen into his hands." This is not a discussion. There's no tape recording here. There's no MP3. There's no audio recording, but it is recorded. It's not a sermon by popular request. No. But it is a word from the Lord. Now notice the personal. "You. I have found you. You. I'm going to bring disaster on you. You. Your house. Your family. You. You." We want this kind of preaching. We want this kind of personal address. There's too much of us and we. Oh, we are sinners. We have this. It's for us and all that. Well, there's truth in that, of course. But the preacher should be personal. Preaching is a personal matter from God to the individual. Thou art the man, said Nathan to David. You are the man, said Elijah to Ahab. We need this kind of preaching. There's a personal responsibility in sin, my friend. You are responsible for your sin. Do you see it? I am responsible for my sin. We can't blame circumstances. We can't blame others. We carry the can. We have to stand before God. We all, individually, I have to, you have to, stand before Christ in judgment. We can't pass the buck. Do you notice Elijah doesn't beat about the bush? He's straight to the point. I will do this. Speaking in the name of God. It's not that events will overtake Ahab. It's not that something will happen to him. God will bring it about. The day of judgment, my friend, is God's day. God will judge the world by that man that he has appointed. And he's given evidence of it. He's shown it by raising him from the dead. Acts chapter 17. Oh, yes. God knows what this man has done. You've sold yourself to evil. And to do evil, to think evil. You have done this, and I will do it. You've done your bit, and I will do mine. God is not passive, silent. It may seem you thought that I was like you, doing nothing. You get this in the Psalms. No, no. God has seen. God has known. Remember, Ahab has been guilty of greed. Remember, he has ignored the word of God. He's under the law of God as an Israelite. The law of God is plain, but he's driven a cart and horses, a coach and horses through the law of God. God's law says you can't do this, but he said, I don't care. I want that vineyard, and I'll get it. And Jezebel has got it for him, and he's murdered for it. He's been greedy for it. He's hated God's word, and he's wanted his own way, and he's got it like a petulant boy. And it's broken out now. He's sown the wind, and he's going to reap the whirlwind. Of course, it's extraordinary, I've said it. So it is in John chapter 20, 22 to 23, when Jesus commissions the apostles, whatever sins you remit and so on, whatever sins you forgive. That's a very special commission there. By the preaching of the gospel, there is a power in bringing home to men their sin. And the gospel has the means and way of salvation. And there is a responsibility on the sinner to hear. There's a responsibility on the preacher to preach it. My friend, as an unbeliever, you are responsible for your sin. And you must turn. You must repent. God doesn't do the repenting. God doesn't do the believing. You must repent. You must turn. And if you will not, if you refuse, then you will perish. It's a terrible end that Ahab is coming to. For Jezebel, too, it's a dreadful consequence, but God is bringing it home to them through Elijah here. You see, men think God is weak, that he is feeble, that he doesn't know what to do, and he's ignorant. Not at all. God is there all the time, and he brings calamity upon this family and upon this nation. Do you see the chorus here? Like Jeroboam, son of Nebat, like Baasha, son of Ahijah. These are choruses which come repeatedly, especially the Jeroboam one. Nobody sinned like him, but you've done it, and the responsibility is coming. You thought I was like you, Psalm 50, verse 21, but oh no, I know what's going on, and I've come to judge. I've come to judge. When God commissioned Ezekiel, chapter 3 and verses 7 to 9, he said, you know, they won't be willing to listen to you. They'll harden their foreheads. They'll be stiff-necked against you. But I will harden your forehead. I will stiffen you too, Ezekiel. And you must speak to them. And God says it here to and through Elijah. Now, I know, as I said at the beginning, this is not a popular discourse. And I know there are other sides to the gospel. The love of God, the mercy of God, the precious blood of Jesus to wash away sin. All that has to be sounded. But so does this note, my friend. Jewelers know that if you want to make the diamond sparkle, you set it against a dark, a black background. The truth is this as much as the other. There is wrath, and there is judgment for sin and upon sinners. But there is mercy, and there is forgiveness. Oh, my friend, if you are an unbeliever, please heed this word. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And you will have to answer. You will have to face God. And the chief sin is your refusal to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:18. John 3:36. Preacher, be gracious enough, have enough love for God and his word, to stand before sinners and confront them. I challenge myself. Let us be you, personal, confrontational. As much as we offer mercy, may we not spare the other note. May we make it clear to all who hear us that God will not be tinkered with, he will not be fooled. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. May we spell it out. Otherwise, if we fail, as Ezekiel was told, you are a watchman, Ezekiel, and if you do not warn, I will hold you responsible. Well, praise God, Elijah discharged his responsibility here. I have found you, and the Lord says this to you. May God raise up such men today. As I said before, we don't want rabbits. We don't want mice in the pulpit. We want men. Men of God who speak in the name of God and for God and bring a people to tremble before the Lord and trust Christ and be saved and not to go on in their hardness and unbelief. I know this has not been an easy discourse to listen to, but God bless it as he will to the glory of his name wherever it goes. Amen.